Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now, as I said before the break, the phones are open for any of our Muslim listeners to call in and discuss with us how you're feeling and what you're thinking as we learn more about the Boston bombing suspects. So it's 212-433-WNYC. Did your heart sink when word came that the Tsarnaev brothers are, in fact, Muslims? 212-433-9692. Is it more or less disturbing that they seem not to fit the stereotype of radical Muslims trained by al-Qaeda, but actually seem, at least on the face of it, to be sort of regular naturalized Americans, immigrants like so many others, but who became individually disaffected from what we could tell? Are you worried that the Boston bombing aftermath will be a reignition of the post-9/11 environment where Muslims were often unfairly profiled as potentially dangerous and there were personal acts of hostility or discrimination against individuals? 212-433-9692. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? And with us to take your calls, two guests. Mohammed El-Falali is the outreach director of the Islamic Center of Passaic County. He's the assistant imam there and also the chaplain at the Passaic County Jail. And also with us is Tricia Rose, professor of Africana Studies at Brown University and the newly named director of the Center for Race and Ethnicity in America there. Welcome back to both of you. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Mohammed, did your heart sink when the identities of the Boston bombing suspects were revealed?
Actually, I heard of the news flying back from an overseas trip on Monday. And the first thing that came to mind, violence again in America. What a sad story in a culture of violence. And, of course, when I heard they were belonging or they allegedly belonged to a Muslim faith, which it's not representative in their act, of course I was worried about the backlash for our community.
And let's take our first call right away. Asra in South Brunswick. You're on WNYC. Asra, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you for having this. Yes, my first reaction was, as a fellow runner, I knew people that were running in this race, and I reached out to them, and thank God they were all okay. And then the thing that came to my mind was, as a Muslim, I was like, I hope it's not a Muslim. And unfortunately, they were Muslim. And they do not represent any part of Islam or what Muslims believe in. We all, as Muslims, denounce these actions and of taking of any innocent life. Islam, along with the other faiths, Christianity and Judaism, we practice kindness, peacefulness, love, compassion, and forgiveness of all mankind. And it's just unfortunate that they were of this faith and this does not represent Islam.
What do you think about that strain of radical Islam that engages in violent jihad that is out there? Because its existence is real.
Yes, you're right. And they are not following the proper Islam. This is not what we have been taught as Muslims.
Asra, thank you very much for your call. And I want to play a clip from 60 Minutes from Sunday. Scott Pelley is interviewing a couple of Jokhar Tsarnaev's classmates at UMass Dartmouth. And listen to this.
Did he seem overtly religious to you in any way?
Not even a little bit.
Little bit.
These friends saw him 2 weeks ago. He was a sophomore at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth. Ahmad Nasri and Basil Nasri tried without luck to get him to join the MSA, the Muslim Student Association.
Did you see him at mosque? You see him at prayers? Nothing like that?
No, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I would have loved for him to come to the MSA a few times so we can maybe understand his religion better. Maybe that would have helped in what happened, I would say.
And that from 60 Minutes. So Mohammed Falali from the Islamic Center of Passaic County, he is talking in that clip about wishing that Jakar had come to the Islamic Center at the college because that might have dissuaded him from his radical views if he was becoming religious in that radicalized way. How do you deal with that in your congregation? Because as I said to the other caller, it is a thing in the world. So how do you address it as a matter of prevention or anything else?
Absolutely. What we call for youngsters and adults as well is for them to come to the mosque, belong to a group, belong to an institution that we know exactly what they're teaching. It is the sad part when individuals start learning religion on their own and start being radicalized on their own, whether over the internet or just reading a piece of paper on their own and say, you know, this is my understanding of the world or this is my understanding how it should be. And that's based on emotions where coming to an MSA, coming to a mosque, coming to an institution, belonging to a group of people where the discussion is formalized. There is a strong discussion amongst the scholars here in the United States and all over the world to condemn violence in any way, shape, or form. And that's the discussion and the discourse that is taking place in the MSA and in the mosques is along those lines. Let us live in society and let us be fruitful. And let us be a good element of society and stay away from violence. Yes, we can disagree on issues, and let us not be violent about the issues.
Tricia Rose, you teach at Brown, and you're not Muslim, but you teach about identity and the politics of identity and the culture of identity formation and expression in the United States among all kinds of groups. And I wonder, as you pay attention to the coverage of the aftermath of the bombing, including, for example, the calls by lawmakers, Lindsey Graham being the most vocal, to have him interrogated as an enemy combatant, do you think there's a racial or ethnic or religious subtext to that reaction?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think it's very important to, not only to emphasize what's been emphasized, which is the constant efforts that Muslim communities in America make to counter the demonization of the faith. But there's also the demonization of otherness in general, of which ethnicity is a part. And it does seem kind of fascinating that the Chechenian sort of gateway to anti-Muslim sort of thinking overshadowed the profound levels of so-called quote-unquote familiarity that it seemed everyone had with the kinds of young men they were on the day-to-day basis. And so there is a sense in which we have to sort of look at how certain groups of people in history can be demonized collectively, overshadowing the kinds of information we have, right, about on the ground.
So I think what you're saying is most of the Islamist terror attempts in this country since 9/11 seem to be by people first or second generation who become disaffected as individuals. The Times Square bomber, the Fort Hood shooter, these guys. And the question you're raising, I guess, is that any different from any other person who's disaffected and becomes a shooter who we recognize as somebody in our midst? The Adam Lanzas,
well, yeah.
The Jared Loughners, the James Holmes.
Right. Right. I mean, I think it's also really fascinating that there's never a gendered discussion about this. What is it about of young sort of transitional men that seem to be vulnerable? I think, for example, it would help us. But back to the main point here, I think there's no question that we draw separations based on who we think is outside and who we think is inside. And we have a long history, particularly in the U.S., of putting some groups outside and then extending from the individual into the group.
At the same time...
You know, we deny, Brian, that certain groups of people are more likely to be alienated because they're also mistreated as groups.
Right. And yet they are members of groups when maybe Adam Lanza and Jared Loughner weren't.
Not.
So when they attack their disaffection to Islamist radicalism, their connection to Islamic radicalism rather than to nothing, as Adam Lanza or Jared Loughner might have been connected to nothing. Society sees it differently. And there is this organized movement out there, Al-Qaeda, call it what you want, that is different and tries to recruit people to this kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have so many layers. You have, on the one hand, a culture that valorizes violence more than it should. You have very limited safety nets for people who feel alienated and isolated and lost. There are very few sort of social safety nets for that. You have the history of not only racism and ethnic marginalization, but the demonization of people from other groups. You have, you know, an anti-Muslim anxiety and set of practices that also go on. So all of these things, it seems to me, need to be taken together. So and not operating from fear and the lack of knowledge, but the using these things as an opportunity, right, to understand religion in general, diverse religious communities and social spaces, and the role of extremism within and beyond religious context. And how do people get caught up in extremist, alienated ways of understanding the world, and how can we protect both ourselves and them from that?
And going back to some of our Muslim callers, Atika in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you. I'm a Muslim American from Brooklyn, and actually the point that I wanted to make is not as a Muslim, but as an American. And I just have a great concern about the impact that the events that transpired last week are going to have on really important policy conversations that are happening right now, including that of immigration reform, of surveillance on Muslim communities. And unfortunately, I fear will not have the same impact on important issues like the gun control debate or things like the suspension of Miranda rights, the enemy combatant issue that you just mentioned, Brian. And I think that these have a more profound impact on our society and democracy than any single attack. And I think that that's something as Americans that we should all be concerned with.
Thank you for your call. Ghalib in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ghalib.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
I just like to talk about how Mr. Tezenef, what we try to do, I'm at the Stephen Hall Law School in Newark. And as the president of the Muslim Law Student Association, we always try to approach any situation like this by presenting that there are students who are Muslim, who are practice their faith, but are not, as the media has termed it, radicalized. And we try to present that a situation like Mr. Tazinev is representative of himself and himself only. So we try to approach situations where students who are or feel, you know, ostracized in their community or looking for, you know, just a space, as Mr. Filali said it, to kind of get to know more people, to bring them in and try to understand what's actually going on and approach the situation more of as a community. I think that is where some of these people fall out, is they don't have that supporting community that they need.
And let me, since you brought up community again, let me get your reaction to this clip. This was all over the media last week. This is an uncle of the two boys, Ruslan Tsarni. As soon as this started being associated with Chechnya, he came out in the media and said this.
No, they've never been in Chechnya. It has nothing to do with Chechnya. I say, Jihad, if you're alive, turn yourself in and ask for forgiveness. The victims, from the injured, and from those who left, ask forgiveness from these people. We're not requiring forgiveness in this family. He put a shame on our family, Tsarnaev's family. He put a shame on the entire Chechen ethnicity. Because everyone now names, they play with word Chechen. So they put that shame on the entire ethnicity.
And I think, folks, you could hear that with the helicopter whirring. They put shame on the entire Chechen ethnicity. Do you feel a similar kind of anger, Ghalib, about them bringing shame to the Muslim religion?
I think I agree. I believe that they do bring a shame to the religion, because that's exactly not what, you know, as a practicing Muslim and a student, that's not exactly what we do. And I agree with him. He does bring shame at the same sense to the Chechenian people, because Chechenian people are now going to be demonized just as the Muslim faith was demonized, just because no one really, and most of the community in the American community, has no idea or any background knowledge on the Chechenian people. Many actually have been confusing Chechnya with the Czech Republic.
I know, that's been one of the slightly hilarious side effects of this, because those Czechs from Czechoslovakia. Ali and Ghalib, thank you so much. Ali in Hackettstown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ali.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
It's a wonderful discussion. I just wanted to bring up just a couple of points. Well, to your first thing that you had asked if somebody's heart sank. My heart just dropped when I heard that. I grew up in the South. I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, and moved to Jersey a few years ago. And let me tell you, it's growing up in the South, we all used to see anytime there was any kind of a Muslim, somebody who would, I mean, commit these acts, it would be just, I mean, people would just come to you and ask you tons of different questions, and then they would just literally go out to curse you out, right? But I was really hoping that it would be a Southern Baptist, but I'm just kidding. That's a joke. The people who read it, they don't understand it. Because I know how to read Quran, but I don't understand it because it was taught to me in Arabic. You go to great lengths to figure out what the translation is. Right.
Different, and I'm going to leave it there because we're running out of time, but different people interpreting the Quran differently. Muhammad from the Islamic Center of Passaic County, you want to reflect on Ali's call?
Yeah, I mean, and there is a sense of us versus them, and I was hoping it was a Southern Baptist or the person of a different faith. And I think it's always easier to point the finger to the other. But when we start feeling that this is affecting the human family and the fear is seeping in the hearts of every single person, irrespective of their religion, we're going to start looking at violence much differently. And we're going to start looking at it globally, where we, how we are affecting others and how others are affecting us, meaning our neighbors, our brothers and sisters. It is extremely important. And I think the message of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism talks about Adam and the children of Adam, and all of us belong into the same family. And I think it is now important for us in the United States, being the superpower, carrying the values and the respect of human dignity,
and
to engage in this discussion.
And Tricia Rose, in our last minute, I wonder if you've been thinking about how these brothers are pretty ethnically ambiguous. They could be perceived to be any number of ethnicities, and it makes sense. In that part of the world, Central Asia, there's a real mix of ethnicities. And one of my producers, who's ethnically ambiguous, you might say, says that it's kind of great. It's really hard for someone to be racist against you if they don't know what race you are. You know, like, what racial epithet are you supposed to hurl at somebody who you can't figure out what racially they are? But on the other hand, for people who are inclined toward racism, maybe Johar's image just expands the spectrum of people who racists are afraid of.
Well, I mean, there's no question that various mixtures trouble and confuse the familiar kinds of racial categories that we've created to demonize groups. But, you know, we invented those categories as well. Certainly ethnic groups had their own cultural formations, but many groups have shifted racial identities. You know, Irish were, in fact, not white for a very long time.
Right.
But at the same time...
Southern Europeans, too.
Right. So part of the question is, what is our relationship to the process of demonization and othering? Not just which groups are in there, but to what degree are we invested in acknowledging that not all groups in any one moment are equally likely to be demonized?
And that has
so
to
that's
be
the us versus them.
The last word, as we will keep talking to each other, all of us, listeners and guests, Tricia Rose, Africana Studies professor at Brown, Muhammad El Falali from the Islamic Center of Passaic County. Thank you both so much.
Thank you much.
Thank you.